Okay, what am I doing there? Allow me.
Allow me. Good intro. Yeah.
Allow me a little levity. That is a what I'm calling a Moody Blues audio arc. I'm using it to welcome a guest who made his name with Moody Blues and still has his name going today. That is John Lodge. John, welcome. I'm glad you appreciated the little opening there.
Thank you very much. Good opening.
John Lodge will be at the Genesee Theater in Waukegan Saturday at 7 p.m. And I'm going to get back to all this Moody Blues material because it's so fascinating. And I'm not saying that to be facetious. I've learned some stuff today that just, to me, about Moody Blues history was jaw-dropping. But first, you have a new album out that came out appropriately on Valentine's Day called Love Conquers All. And obviously, you are touring. Tell us a little bit about the album, where it came from.
Yeah, the album started during COVID times, and I wrote the first song during COVID, and it was in these crazy times, but we all make it through if we make it together. And I wrote that song. I wrote an instrumental called Where I Live in Florida. We look over a place called Cocoahatchee Bay. Mm-hmm. And every evening, the sunsets are just unbelievable. And I was watching the sunset one day and just had this idea of the tune, you know. And, so I recorded that. And the other two songs recorded during the last 2 years. And the latest one is Whispering Angels. And I recorded that with John Davison. We wrote it together because John joins me on stage on my tour.
And that is available at johnlodge.com and other places, along with, I might say, some great merchandise there at johnlodge.com that goes...
thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Hand in hand. Yeah. So speaking of that tour, which is coming to Waukegan on Saturday at 7 p.m., what do you play these days in a John Lodge concert?
Well, what I'm doing at the moment is keeping the Moody Blues music alive. Mm-hmm. That's the really idea of this tour. And so on the first set, I play all classic Moody Blues songs, with homage to the other guys in the band, Ray Thomas and Justin. But the second half, I do the whole of Days of Future Past with Old Hearty Warm, narrated by Graham.
You know, I have friends who can recite that entire lament segment, a bit of which I played at the beginning, from beginning to end, John. They have it.
Yeah.
Like, they'll just say, hey, listen to what I can do. And out of nowhere, they, you know, like you're at lunch or something, well, listen to this. And they go through the entire passage.
Yeah, I think it resonates because it was really first ever sort of poetry on a rock album. And it was so... Out of the blue, it took everybody by surprise.
I played this, what I called Moody Blues audio arc there at the beginning that started with the intro to a 1965 Moody Blues hit, which was one of my favorites, called Go Now, which you were not a part of because you were in college. Is that right?
Yeah, I was still in college, still a young guy.
Mm-hmm. How admirable of you to ignore the rock and roll career and stay and finish your college education.
Well, it was and it wasn't, because of an evening I was still playing my music every evening. I had a couple of bands that I was touring with as well as going to college, you know. But I'd spent 4 years at college and I wanted to do the final year and complete the program, you know. And that's what I did. I said, I can't join the band yet.
Right.
Still in college. So I finished, got my degree, and sometime after that, Ray Thomas called me up and said, hey, John, have you finished college yet? I said, yes. He said, come down to London and join us then now. And that's what I did.
And the rest, as they say, is no understatement, musical history. John Lodge from the Moody Blues, and we'll do more when we come back on 720 WGN. I was watching yesterday or today a Birmingham television program that you were on a few years ago, Birmingham being, of course, your hometown. And in this interview, you told a story about the Days of Future Past that I thought was just jaw-dropping. I had never heard this story about how this album came to be, about what it was originally, about what record company wanted what, and I'm hoping you can tell that story for us.
Yeah, the record company wanted a pop group. That was bands were called in England at the time, pop groups. They wanted a pop group that was under contract to the Decca Record Company, and they wanted to make an album featuring Dvorak's New World Symphony, because Decca Records had this new hi-fi system that you could buy, the hardware.
Yeah.
But they also just invented something called high-frequency audio, which actually, in fact, was stereo.
Yes.
And they wanted to make an album that combined classical music and a pop band. And they came to us to see if we would do it. And we said, yes, of course we will, but we don't do Dvorak's New World Symphony. We'll play our own songs and use the orchestra to accompany our songs, really.
And this material that was used, at least what I gleaned from this interview, was originally done, you were writing a stage production first?
Before that time, playing all American songs, you know, songs from Philadelphia, Memphis, Chicago, and we'd never been to America, so we just like a facsimile of other music, and so we decided just to write our own songs, and whether they were successful or not, who would know? So we just weren't about writing our own stage show. So on the first half, we do American cover versions, and the second part of the show would be all new material. Mm-hmm. And when we started playing the new material, we suddenly realized people were enjoying all the cover versions. And that gave us the impetus to keep going. And so when we had the chance to record in the studio, we said, we got to record all these songs. We don't work on stage. They should work in the studio. And they did.
And this was an attempt, not a successful attempt, by, if I understand correctly, by Decca Records to utilize your material into basically making one of the first stereo albums, correct?
Yeah, and actually, the first album, Days of Future Past, we only mixed it in stereo. We had to go back into the studio months later and mix it again in mono, because most people in England didn't know a stereo player.
Well, of course not. And if you want to have hits,
only America had stereo.
Well, yes and no. I mean, you know, we're playing your music on AM pop stations. I did it for decades.
Yeah.
And that wasn't stereo. So, you know, there had to be a mono mix, not only for your stuff, but for just about everybody. But I found that story so fascinating. I had never heard it before, and it sort of set you on a trajectory, if I may be so bold as to use that word, of combining Moody Blues lyrics and music, and the music being provided not only by your rock and roll instruments, so to speak, but also by a symphony orchestra. That stayed with you, did it not?
Yeah, it did. But to be honest, I think we already had inbuilt in the band, because of makeup, this approach to classical influenced music, you know, because we had four guys who could sing all in harmony. We had a flute player, and we had, of course, acoustic guitar and bass. But we had the mellotron, which Mike played. So that gave us a real a classical approach to music anyway, particularly as well with the chord sequences we used in our songs.
I have always marveled at Moody Blues, not only the music, but the lyrics and the album titles. Days of Future Past, In Search of the Lost Chord, On the Threshold of a Dream, To Our Children's Children, A Question of Balance, Every Good Boy Deserves Favor. I mean, are these chapters in a self-help book, or are these actual titles of albums? I mean, this is pretty deep, John.
It is when you say them like that, one after the other.
But I mean, I'm sincere in that.
We used to sit around a coffee table in the studio, and I've still got that coffee table now in storage, can you believe, like 55 years later. That could tell some stories.
But
we used to sit around there and say, what's this album going to be about? What do you think? And we all just talk until we came up with a semblance of an idea what the title should be. And then we normally, at the end of the evening, got the title we wanted.
Well, the lyrics were, needless to say, challenging, especially, well, they're challenging, period, but also within the context of what pop music was about at that time. The Moody Blues had a very unique position in all of that. And one I think that the fans of the Moody Blues, and myself included, really appreciated on a bunch of levels, musically, lyrically, and I'll just, for my own personal satisfaction, since I've got you on the phone, one of my absolute favorite Moody Blues lyrics. And if you want the winds of change to blow about you, and you're the only person to know, don't tell me, because I'm just a singer in a rock and roll band. That blows me away, John. It always has. Just
thank you.
Wipes me out. Because you're not just a singer in a rock and roll band. I mean, it's obviously what this whole thing is about. If I'm right, right? I mean, why would a rock and roll singer talk about the winds of change and blowing about you? And I mean, that's not what somebody who's just a singer in a rock and roll band talks about. I mean, that's deep stuff.
Yeah, I think it comes from observation, meeting people, see what's happening in the world, see how it affects you, and see how you can write something lyrically in perspective for everything that's going on.
Well, it was certainly appreciated on my part, and congratulations on I think, over 70 million albums sold by the Moody Blues, somewhere around that number.
Yes.
Inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We've been talking to John Lodge, who's going to be at the Genesee Theater in Waukegan Saturday at 7 p.m. Obviously, John, you're not just a singer in a rock and roll band, and I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
Well, thank you very much for the interview. Nice interview, and thank you for all your listeners for keeping the faith in the Moody Blues and the music. And the music.
Absolutely. Thanks, John. Have a great night. Thanks
again. Thank you. Bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.